indeed is a present prophetic word, not just for Scripture Pastor, for the whole church. The church is going through and will continue to go through a time of shaking. The perils of the end time that are a consequence of the cumulative, collective sins of the nations, particularly in the last 50 years. Like they say in the world, the chickens have come home to roost. And this COVID-19 is just the beginning. But the good news in all of this is that if you will hold on to the word of his patience, then God will keep you through these trying times. And you will not be afraid of the future, because your confidence will be in the grace and the mercy of God and his word that you have proven. So when you've proven something, like David, when he was going to Goliath, he wasn't afraid. Saul said, "It is a mighty man of war. You're just a youth." He said, "Take my armor." He put on Saul's armor. He said, No. He said, "Put it away." He said, "I've not tried it." He said, "I know what works for me. Thy servant killed the lion, and I killed the bear. With these my hands and my sword and my sling, this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." And in the same way, the weapons of your warfare that you have used, not that Pastor Lubi used, not that Mommy Sarah used, that you have used, that you know works, because you've used it. When the other shakings begin to come, you will know exactly how to apply them and you will come out on top. And that is why Mommy didn't even know the message I had prepared. When she told me she had a word, I said, "You give it before I come and give my own word." And what I'm going to do is going to be like an abridged version of what I had, what God had prepared me to deliver. And it really dovetails with what she has shared. I really like what she said. You know, I've said the same myself. And, you know, it's just an amplification of it. You know, the world doesn't respect the church yet. We have a lot of talk, but little action. During the Bible study, I spoke about Moses. I spoke about Elijah. One word affected an entire nation. That's amazing. One word. Pharaoh was sent for, he was sent for Moses and Aaron. And said, "Please appeal to the Lord your God so that all these flies will leave Egypt." And Moses will say, "Don't worry, by tomorrow all the flies will be gone." And indeed they go. One particular scripture says, "And there was not one left." You know, we read the scripture many times and just go over this, you know, superficially. Think deeply. We know Egypt today. It's probably similar to what it was back in those days. You know, it's a big country. Egypt is even not as big as Nigeria, but it's big. Not as big as Nigeria, but it's big. Very, very big. It's not just one town like Ibadan. You've got Cairo, you've got Alexandria, you've got different places all over Egypt. How can one man speak in one location and his word that goes forth affects the entire geography of an entire nation, the entire environment, that all the frogs left, all the flies left? That's the kind of man you'll be afraid of. That's the kind of man you will respect. And that is why I've brought this word. I'm bringing this word now. It's fulfilling all of the law and the prophets. We must fulfill it so that the purpose of God for the church and for the world in this time of sorrows, in these perils of the end time, in these end time, will be fulfilled. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the word of your handmaiden. I thank you for the word of correction, the word of exhortation, the word of instruction, that each and every one of us individually needs to prepare our hearts and ourselves, examine our hearts, remove every dishonesty, craftiness, handling the word of God deceitfully, so that in these times of shaking, we will not be shaken. That you will keep us in this time of the trying of the whole world as we keep your word of patience. Father, as I come to share this word that complements that which your handmaiden has spoken, anoint me afresh. Let me speak as I should as an oracle of God. Let the word flow freely from you through me to the people. Put the same unction on the ears and the hearts of all the hearers, those who are here physically, those who are at home. Let the word flow and do an internal work in all of our hearts, causing wills to be more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let the power of your Spirit in sufficient measure back these words to heal, to deliver, to break yokes, to free men, so that they won't just be hearers only, but they will also be doers. And Lord, I further pray that you will grant me mercy, so I will deliver it with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all those who agreed with me individually, receiving every blessing I mentioned, agreed and said, Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's speaking it to his audience at that time, 2,000 years ago, but they are prophetic words that resonate right down to today. Think not, I didn't hear you, that I am come to destroy the law and the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily, I say unto you, this is a great statement. God doesn't use words carelessly. Till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till some be fulfilled. I would say all. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is my destiny and your destiny to fulfill all the law and the prophets. And that is the purpose of this message. Now, to give you how it came to me, God told me about the three literal Pentecosts. I mentioned this when I preached on the day of Pentecost, when I talked about shining from Zion. I'll just briefly summarize. The first Pentecost, God used it to give the law to Moses and the nation of Israel. Very significant. God came down personally on Mount Sinai, used his finger like a laser beam. Fire came from his finger and he wrote the Ten Commandments on two tablets of stone. Subsequently, after that, Moses wrote more things. What was given on that day was just the Ten Commandments, but then Moses now expanded that, you know, gave all of the ceremonial laws, the animal sacrifices, the Levitical laws, the civil laws of diet, of hygiene, you know, all the civil laws in interpersonal relationships and all of that. And then, you know, he gave all of those laws. So the law, we have to understand, I'm going to come back to this in a minute, but let me just say here, has three major parts. You can break it down into smaller parts, but three major parts. You got the ceremonial laws, which are the animal sacrifices. Then you've got the civil laws, you know, which include the laws of diet, the laws of hygiene, the laws of social interaction between people. You know, for example, you don't go and remove the landmark of the widow. You don't go and remove the landmark of somebody. If you take somebody something and you spoil it, then you give him back with 20%, and so on and so forth. These are the civil laws. And then, probably the most important part of the law was the moral law, which was the Ten Commandments, the moral and the spiritual law. You know, and it's very important to understand these three demarcations, because when Christians talk about the law, they talk about it ignorantly. You know, and you hear Christians say, oh, the New Testament, we're not under the law. We're not under the law. You don't understand. When I finish, you will understand. Yes, we are not under the law as far as the ceremonial observances are concerned, but we are still under the same moral and spiritual laws. Those laws haven't changed. It was wrong to steal in the Old Testament. It's still wrong to steal today. It was wrong to lie in the Old Testament. It's still wrong to lie today. It was wrong to commit adultery then. It's still wrong to commit adultery now. It was wrong to covet then. It's still wrong to covet now. You are not free from the moral and the spiritual law. The difference is how you keep it now. In fact, you keep it the same way. It's just that it's far more efficient now because of the blood of Jesus and the having the life of God inside us, which they didn't have before, and they had it from the outside before. But don't let me get off into that. So the first Pentecost gave us the Ten Commandments, and then after that, Moses sat down and he wrote everything from Genesis, you know, to Deuteronomy. Is known as the Torah among the Jews. And then later on we had all the, you know, the prophets. That will be from Joshua right up to Malachi. The second Pentecost, which happened 2,000 years ago in the upper room in Jerusalem, gave us the same law that they gave Moses, basically, but now it was put inside our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, this is the new covenant which I'll make with them. I will write my law in their hearts, you know, and in their minds, and they will know me from the least to the greatest. So that was why on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came, and the entrance of the Holy Spirit into the human heart, making us to speak in tongues, caused God's word and God's life and light to be written inside the human heart, unlike before when it was put on stones. Not only that, the same thing that happened in the Old Testament happened in the second Pentecost, because after that day of Pentecost and the law was given, and that law now was summarized actually in the law of love. The Apostle John summarizes that law in 1 John chapter 3. He said, and this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment. As we're going to see, that summarizes the entire moral and spiritual laws. You can summarize everything in love. Paul said the same thing. He said, you know, love is the fulfilling of the law. If you fulfill love automatically, if you walk in love, you won't commit adultery. If you walk in love, you won't steal. If you walk in love, you won't lie. If you walk in love, you won't covet. All the commandments of God are easily kept by keeping one, the commandment of love. But you cannot keep that commandment of love without the divine life. And that's why he puts it as a twofold commandment of life and love. But you know what happened at the day of Pentecost? The same thing that happened in the Old Testament, where Moses now sat down, he got the basic Ten Commandments, then he now sat down and wrote all the other parts of the Torah. In exactly the same way, after the day of Pentecost, you know, God chose his apostles like Paul, Peter, James, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and they wrote the New Testament. They now expanded what they received on the day of Pentecost, you know, and what Jesus had taught them for 40 days. They now sat down and wrote them over a period of some years and gave us the New Testament. So the first Pentecost gave us the Old Testament. The second Pentecost gave us the New Testament. Now, the third Pentecost, which is the one we've just celebrated, the third literal Pentecost, you know, a few months ago, you know, in the month of May, you know, is now giving us the revelation of how to fulfill all of the Old and New Testament. That's why Jesus said, I have not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. So with this revelation now, God writing his law, he says, God who has commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the knowledge of the glory of God that is in the face of Jesus Christ. This revelation of this third Pentecost is now going to give us the revelation and the power and the ability to fulfill all the law. We're going to fulfill all the prophetic shadows of the Old Testament, and then we're going to fulfill the commandment of love of the New Testament. And the purpose of the third Pentecost, first Pentecost gave us Old Testament. Second Pentecost gave us New Testament. Third Pentecost will fulfill Old and New Testament and close the age. That's the purpose. It's very important you get that. You know? And so, now, let's look at this. You know, I'm going to try to be as brief and as concise as possible as the Holy Spirit helps me. You know, let's look. I want to break it down into the two sections. For years, I preached this in 2018, this same message, but I'm preaching it now with more light and more revelation. For years, I always used to, in my mind, just think of the law and the prophets as the same. They're not. They're not. The law is the Torah, Genesis to Deuteronomy. The prophets is Joshua to Malachi. All those writings. Collectively, they are called the prophets. Why is there a distinction? The distinction is this. It's amazing the way the Holy Spirit has blown this thing out for me by the grace and the mercy of God. Like Paul said, I, yet not I. You cannot fulfill the prophets unless you first of all fulfill the law. It's sequential. You must first of all fulfill the law. I'm getting ahead of myself. When you fulfill the law, all the law, it will cause your character to be developed, because the law is love, basically. It will cause the love of God to be perfected in you, to be complete in you. And because of that perfection in character, God can now trust you with the Spirit without measure. And it is only by the Spirit without measure you can fulfill all the prophets. You cannot fulfill all the prophets with the earnest of the Spirit. The purpose of the earnest of the Spirit, watch this. The purpose of the earnest of the Spirit is to enable you to fulfill the law. That's why you need the whole. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot perfect the love of God. You cannot even walk in love. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I said this a few weeks ago, and I'm going to repeat it. The primary, not the only, the primary purpose of praying in tongues is to perfect the love of God. That's the primary purpose. That's why God gave us tongues, so that we can use it as a tool to tap into the supernatural, watch this, wisdom of God and power of God. Two things. I would say wisdom of God and power of God. You know, it takes the wisdom of God to walk in love. Wisdom is the principal part of love. And when you pray in tongues, the Bible says you speak mysteries. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. So when you pray a lot in tongues with this understanding, a lot of people just use tongues, you know, oh, I want to get power, I want to get, you know, miracles and all that. And that's not wrong. Please don't misunderstand me. But primarily, the primary purpose of praying, speaking in tongues, is to perfect the love of God. You can't perfect the love of God without the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. And that's the reason why so many people have not developed the love of God, because they are trying to perfect the love of God by human wisdom and human strength and human ability. It won't work. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we were given the Holy Spirit and the ability to speak in tongues. And that's why, you know, in our little book, you know, Keeping Yourself in the Love of God, you find after every prayer you pray in tongues. After every prayer you pray in tongues. After every prayer you pray in tongues. Because the tongues will now release the wisdom and the power to actually practice that thing in a daily basis. You will come across situations in your life where you will need the wisdom of God as, how am I going to walk in love in this situation? And because you've prayed in the Spirit of God will give you the wisdom. And he'll give you the strength. And he'll give you the ability. So when people say, oh, I can't walk in love, it's too difficult, you're telling me you're not praying in the Spirit as you should. Because with the wisdom and the power of God, love never fails. God will show you how to deal with that situation. He will show you what to say. He will show you how to act. He will, you know, he will strengthen you. I can do all things. That beautiful song we sang today in him. Through Christ who strengthens me, which includes walking in love. I can walk in love through Christ who strengthens me. I don't want to get off on that. Now, let's look at two other scriptures. I want to first of all focus on fulfilling the law. Then I will come to fulfilling the prophets and then show you how, and then we'll close. Number one, let's look at Matthew chapter 22. It's a great scripture. One of my favorites. There's so many of them that are my favorites, but this one is, you know, and we're looking at verse 36. Somebody comes up to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I like this because it's very, very specific. He said, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Stop, think. It means that there are many commandments. If you look at the law of Moses, it's full of all kinds of things. Animal sacrifices, you know, don't take something from your neighbor, don't remove the landmark. You know, if you see your neighbor's sheep, carry it, give it to him. You know, and so there's so many laws. So this man was asking a very important question. He said, give me the wisdom. Which one is really the important one? Before I run to do this, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do this, I don't want... There are too many. Just give me the one that is the vital one. And Jesus did not hesitate. Jesus said unto him, turn to your neighbor and say, Jesus is saying unto you and I. These are the great commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with some of thy heart and with some of thy soul and with some of thy mind. Everyone say heart, soul, mind. What's he talking about? This was in the Old Testament. Observe, this was in the Old Testament. This commandment was given in the Old Testament. You know, let me break it down for us. It's very simple, really. He's saying your will, your mind, and your emotions. He doesn't say it explicitly there, but that's what he's saying. All of your heart. The Yoruba say gbogbo okun. All of your gbogbo okun mi ni mo fi nse nkan ti mo fi ti mo nse. In other words, I'm doing everything that I'm doing with all of my heart. I'm totally committed. Will. Your soul deals with your emotions. Your mind is, that one is obvious. So he's saying, love God with your will. Love God with your emotions. Love God with your mind. Thank you, mommy. At least I have one supporter. Praise the Lord. Amen. Watch this. This is the first and great commandment. Everybody say first. Turn to your neighbor and say, keep first things first. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then this verse 40 is a great statement. It's one of the most important statements that came out from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, on these two, don't waste your time with all the others. On these two commandments, hang, not some, all the law and prophets. Everybody say law and prophets. Law and prophets. You want to fulfill all the law? You want to fulfill all the promise? Keep these two commandments. Keep these two commandments. You will be able to fulfill all of the law and all of the prophets. Glory be to God. And fulfill what mommy came to preach and exhort us. You know, because that's the only way we're going to be able to get the respect of the world. It is obvious, unless we want to be dishonest with ourselves, that we're not keeping all the law and all the prophets. We're not. In fact, most Christians aren't even keeping the law. Some of you don't even know what it is. And where they know, they have a very childish, simplistic understanding. See, it's not just trying to walk in love. Like I said earlier on, you need divine life to walk in divine love and the power of the Holy Spirit. I can't walk in love without the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. Not at God's level anyway. At a human level, yes, but not at a divine level. I need the Holy Spirit. Now, look at Colossians chapter 2. And then we'll quickly run through this. And we should be through another few minutes. Colossians chapter 2. And we're going to look at verses 16 and 17. I want to look at this in the Amplified Bible. Let's go to the Amplified Bible. Therefore, I didn't hear you. Let no one sit in judgment on you in matters of food and drink, or with regard to a feast day, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These were the ceremonial aspects of the law of Moses. They had feast days. You know, they had new moons. They had Sabbaths. I'm going to come back to all of this in a minute. You know, they had feast days. In other words, they were regulations of what you did on a daily basis, on what you did on a weekly basis, on what you did on a monthly basis, new moon just requires to the month, and then on what you did on a quarterly basis. Israel, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let me just say it now because it's relevant now, had three major feasts. They were not equally spaced apart, but we can add, because we're not under the ceremonial law now, so we can just say there are three major feasts. They had Passover, they had Pentecost, and then they had Tabernacles. Later on, under Esther and Mordecai, a new feast was inaugurated, which was called the Feast of Purim. So in total, if we look at all of the law, the entire Old Testament, we have four feasts.
So to us today, if we take the four feasts and you divide the 12 months of the year by four, you get every 3 months. So there are things that are statutory on a daily basis. There are things that are statutory on a weekly basis. There are things that are statutory on a monthly basis. There are things that are statutory on a quarterly basis. We use that reasoning. Now, verse 17, Colossians 2, the Amplified Bible. It says, such things, turn to your neighbor, say, what things? Food and drink, animal sacrifices, feast days, new moons, Sabbath, all these things, the feast, the drinks, the Sabbath, the new moon, all these things, such things are only a shadow of things that are to come. Listen carefully to the Holy Spirit. They have only what? Symbolic value. But the reality, the substance, the solid fact of what is foreshadowed, the body of it belongs to Christ. Hallelujah. In other words, all of the animal sacrifices have a spiritual equivalent. Those are shadows. They have a spiritual equivalent in Christ. Are you listening to me? The feast days, they have an equivalent in Christ. Spiritual equivalent in Christ. The new moon, the Sabbath, all of them have a spiritual equivalent in Christ Jesus. The spiritual substance. Somebody said it this way. The Old Testament is the glove. The New Testament is the hand. The hand is the substance. The glove is the shadow. So what you now do is that you put your hand inside the glove and then you fill the glove. It's called fulfilling. Hallelujah. Having said that, let's quickly break it down. Let's deal first of all with the law. Like we said earlier on, all of the law, well, the Torah, the Ten Commandments basically, you know, can be summarized in those two laws that Jesus gave us. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, and with all thy soul. And then love your neighbor as yourself. Observe. Observe. You cannot keep the second part if you don't keep the first part. It is the love you get out of, it is the strength and the wisdom that you get out of loving God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your strength. It is that with which you will now use to love your neighbor. You see, if you're trying to love people with natural human love, they are going to frustrate you. Hello? Men are fickle. And they will disappoint you. They will hurt you emotionally. They will frustrate you. Go and ask God. Look at these people. They have tempted me these 10 times. God is the one talking. You know, I say this reverentially. You know, God was exasperated. He was, you know, these people. I brought them out of Egypt. I brought them on eagle's wings. I dealt with Pharaoh, you know, with a strong hand. They complained and murmured at the Red Sea. I didn't say anything. I opened the sea for them. They all passed through, even the bad ones among them. I said nothing. They got onto the other side. The water was bitter. They complained. I said, Moses put a stick inside. The water became sweet. They drank the water. They were hungry. I gave them manna, angel's food from heaven. Honey, real complaint. My soul loathes this daily manna. Then they ask God, can you furnish a table in the wilderness? We want to eat flesh. We want to eat. I don't want this manna. I want bokoto. I'm using, you know, our contemporary something. I want to eat real meat with ishon. In our language, that just means, you know, fat.
you know, and all of that. You know, I want to chew. I'm not at all this manner. God was so angry.
Because the quality of food that he was giving them in manna was far superior to what they would get through flesh. Quality food. He said he fed them with angels' food. And they despised it.
Oh, no, don't let me get off on that.
You know, anyway, what I'm saying is that they pushed God to the wall. You know, because we're like God, you see. We're made in the image and likeness of God. God was frustrated. I don't know if I can use the word frustrated. I think a better word is he was exasperated. It's better, you know, it's a better word. And God told Moses, he said, these guys, who do they think they are? Look at all I've done for them. And they don't. He said, move out of the way. I'm going to destroy all of them as one man. And I will raise a new nation out of you. And he could do it. And Moses said, ah, God, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. He said, because if you do that, the Egyptians will say it's because you can't deliver them. Then you just brought them out here to kill them. And you know what Moses said made sense? This is one of the reasons why I like God. If most of us were like God, that thing would not be in the Bible. We will not record where where God got exasperated and said he was going to destroy all of them. You know what Moses said to God? He said, repent of this thy fierce anger. It's in the Bible. A man talking to God. And God didn't get angry. That's God's nature. We're talking about the love of God. Because God is love, you see. God is loving kindness and long suffering and gentleness. He didn't get angry with Moses. He didn't say, how dare you talk to me like that? You know, if it was you and I, mentor Ambassador. In our language, you don't know who you are talking to. Eh? You tell me, God, to repent of my fierce anger. You want my bow, Lord.
Turn to your neighbor and say, thank God you are not God. And thank God I am not God. And thank God that you and I are becoming more and more like God. Give yourselves a clap offering.
That's why we need to develop to love God with all of our heart, a will, mind, emotion. Then we become more and more like God. Then we will not behave the way God would behave. What Moses said was the correct thing. And God said, the Bible says, and God repented. Then wisdom kicked in. Fine. The children will enter, but these ones, 20 years old and above, not one of them, except Joshua and Caleb. And that's exactly what happened. What am I saying? With the wisdom of God, we can learn, and the character of God, we can develop so that we think like God, we speak like God, we feel like God, and we act like God. As we do that, we will begin to fulfill all the law. Now, the animal sacrifices of the New Testament, of the Old Testament, have spiritual equivalents in the New Testament. I preached this message in 2005, 2006. It was a prophetic message. I've never heard anybody preach it before, you know, or even since, you know, as far as I know. Maybe others have preached it and I don't know. You know, the spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood. Every physical animal sacrifice has a spiritual equivalent. You see this in 1 Peter. He says, you know, offer up spiritual sacrifices. So we have the sin offering, where we say, Father, I confess my sins. Or, Lord, have mercy on me and I receive your blood to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. That's the New Testament sin offering. Then we have the peace offering. In Jesus' name, I have life. You know, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. When you ask for life, that's the peace offering. Then we have the meal offering, which is praise and worship. The sacrifice of praise, you know, of your lips, you know, giving praise to his name continually. It's in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. You know, and then we have the burnt offering, which is the praying in tongues and travail, whereby you burn off, you burn out the sin nature in the flesh. Mark chapter 9, verse 49 says, every sacrifice shall be salted with fire. That sacrifice is your body.
Let us present our bodies a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, it was a dead sacrifice. They would kill the animal, then the fire would come down and a sweet smelling aroma. But in the New Testament, it is a living sacrifice. Your body is still alive. You put the life of God inside it as salt, and then you fire it by the Spirit. Glory to God. And it will then burn out the sin nature. That's why it's a burnt offering. Now, watch this. It is wonderful. Only God could have designed it. We use these four animals' spiritual sacrifices to fulfill the law of love. That's why you confess your sin. In Jesus' name, I have life. I love God with all my heart, will, mind, emotions. You know, that's my peace offering. Then I pray in tongues. That's my burnt offering. You do it all the time. Every time we pray from those love scriptures, that's what we're doing. We're using all the spiritual equivalents of the animal sacrifices of the Old Testament, the spiritual equivalents in the New Testament, to keep the law of love. As you do that, the love of God will grow and it will develop in you. And you will start fulfilling all the law. You will love God with all your heart, will, mind, emotions, and strength. And then you'll be able to love your brethren and all men as Christ loves them. You love them the way God loves them because you're dealing with them now with the wisdom of God. You're dealing with them now with the power of God, the kindness, the long-suffering, the gentleness. So that, watch this, the fickleness of men, the way they would talk, the way they would behave, their frustrations will not affect you. What that means is that you will love them in spite of them. When they do things that make you not want to love them, the love of God inside you, because it has developed and entered the mind, the will, the emotions, the body, will make you walk in love even when you don't feel like it. Now you might know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. You start, you'll be even surprising yourself. You know, you still show love to people. You still walk in love towards them. That's where God is taking us. And when we do that, and we learn, we grow in it, and we perfect it, like that beautiful prayer in Ephesians chapter 3, that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, that you become rooted and grounded in love. God just gave me a revelation of that. I put it inside the prayer now, you know, if you look at the updated versions, you know, in our wills. See, the rooting and grounding is in the will. And then you comprehend more with all sins. That one is in the mind. And then you will know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. That's in the emotions. Their lack of knowledge will not make you feel badly so that you will not walk in love. What is inside your emotions will be so powerful that their lack of knowledge. So you'll be able to relate to the outer court Christian. You'll be able to relate to the holy place Christian. You'll be able to relate to the most holy place Christian. You'll be able to relate to the man who is a sinner and misbehaves. You will still be kind and gentle to them because you are like your father. The Bible says he allows his rain to come both on the good and the evil. And he is kind to the unthankful. You know, normally you don't want to be kind. Somebody who is ungrateful, it does something to your emotions, doesn't it? The Yoruba people say, you know, enter ashore fun ti o dupe bi Olosha korin leru loni. Thank you for my wife. Amen. You know, it's like being robbed. You feel it, but you're still kind to the unthankful. It's only God who is like that, oh. But you and I can become like God. As we become like God and as we perfect the love of God in our lives using these spiritual sacrifices. Another dimension to this which the Lord showed me. You know, if you look in the Old Testament, these are the feasts. I'm just going to summarize it in a minute. Number one, they used to sacrifice an animal every day. There was the morning sacrifice and there was the evening sacrifice. That's why you pray four times every day. There is the morning prayer, sin offering, peace offering, meal offering, burnt offering. You do it in the morning. Then you do again in the evening. You're exactly fulfilling. That's why you don't just pray alone in the morning. You pray, you know, throughout the day. You know? Then number two, Sabbath. You fast once a week.
You don't have to be Saturday or any day, you know, but you can choose a day, you know, so you fulfill the Sabbath. And again, you use the same four offerings: sin offering, peace offering, meal offering, and which is praise and worship, and burnt offering. You do it on the Sabbath. Then you do it on a monthly basis, like we do in this church. I was led by the Spirit. I didn't know what I was doing. You know, I knew what I was doing, but I didn't know that it was fulfilling all the law. You know, so I find that we have sacrifices. We have daily sacrifices. We have weekly sacrifices. We have monthly sacrifices where we pray, you know, for our finances. We pray for this, we pray for that. Then we have quarterly sacrifices where we pray for Israel. We pray for Nigeria. We pray for different things. I didn't know, but I was being led supernaturally by the Holy Spirit to fulfill all the law. So by using the spiritual equivalents of the animal sacrifices, we now fulfill all the law. As you do that and you perfect it, you know what's going to happen? God will now trust you. It's called perfection, the manifestation of sons of God, which Mom was talking about, with the Spirit without measure. It is the Spirit without measure that you now cross, you move to the next stage, the prophets. You cannot fulfill the prophets without the Spirit without measure. And you cannot get the Spirit without measure without fulfilling the law of love. God can trust you with it. Hallelujah. And when you now have the Spirit without measure, watch this. You now get this spectrum. God gave it to me some years ago. I call it pipey. You've got physical miracles like the ones Jesus did. Let me summarize them. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. That summarizes the physical miracles. It doesn't get higher than raising the dead. You know, the lowest aspect is just healing the sick. Cleanse the leper is having, you know, creative miracles that like stretching out a withered hand. Like leprosy, leprosy disappears instantly in front of everybody. It's coming. I didn't hear you folks. Hallelujah. These are physical miracles that will fulfill some of the prophets. But that's not all the prophets. Then you have intellectual miracles, like you see in Joseph, you see in Daniel, you see in Solomon. We're talking about all. So we need intellectual miracles. Those intellectual miracles will lead to political miracles, like what we see in Joseph in Egypt, what we see in Esther and Mordecai in Persia, what we see with Daniel in Babylon. Observe this. Jesus never did that. Jesus' ministry was restricted deliberately. He could have, but he just reserved it for us. You know, his ministry was restricted primarily to physical miracles. He did one or two environmental miracles where he said, peace be still. But you don't see Jesus doing what Moses did. You don't see Jesus causing famine, you know, or the plague of lice or the plague of frogs to come on the Roman Empire. Now, this is just free of charge I want to give you. You know, that's one of the reasons why many of the people doubted him as being Messiah. That's what they were expecting. When they saw what Jesus did, when they saw Jesus raise the dead, when in fact that day they saw him feed 5,000 people, 15,000 really, 5,000 men apart from women and children, you know, so approximately 15,000, 20,000. You know, when they saw him feed 20,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, they said, this is the man. This is the king. This one he will deal with Pilate. He will deal with Rome. So they were expecting that he will come and use that power like Moses did. That's what they were expecting. They were expecting that he will now let him now go to Pilate and say, let my people go. Just like in the Old Testament. And then Pilate would say no. Then they would bring frog, you know, plague of frogs and plague of lice. And then all the Israelites all the Romans will leave the Palestine and God's people will be free. And then Jesus will now sit on the throne as the son of David. That's what they were expecting. Jesus didn't do that. He just did a few. He did physical miracles on individuals.
He didn't do anything on a national level. And that's why he said that the works I do, you will do. And then you will do the greater ones. I've just done things on an individual, local level. You are going to do things on an international, global level. Glory be to God. And that's why we're going to need, apart from the physical miracles, we're going to need the intellectual miracles. We're going to need the political miracles. We're going to need the environmental miracles. And we're going to need the economic miracles. That will fulfill, listen to me, all the prophets. Which prophet do you want to name in the Old Testament that is not covered by that? Is it Elisha? Is it Daniel? Is it Solomon? Is it David? Is it Zechariah? Is it Isaiah? This spectrum of the power of the Spirit without measure that gives us political, intellectual, physical, economic, and environmental miracles covers the entire spectrum of the prophets. So by fulfilling the law, perfecting the love of God, inheriting the Spirit without measure, you can now fulfill all the prophets from Adam to Christ. Everything. Everything. And so that's what we are about. Hence this word from Mommy today. The world is not going to respect us until we fulfill all the law and all the prophets. Closing. Deuteronomy chapter 6. My last scripture. Deuteronomy 6. This is where Jesus quoted from. But there's a reason why I'm going back there. You know, and I'm, you know, this one and Deuteronomy 30. King James. This is where Jesus quoted from. When they said, what's the great commandment of the law? Just went straight to this scripture. He said, hear, O Israel. I didn't hear you. Turn to your neighbor and say, hear, O church. God is talking to us. Hallelujah. The Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all. Everybody say all. So we want to fulfill all the law. So I'm going to need all my heart. All thy heart. I didn't hear you. All thy soul. All thy might. And these words. Turn to your neighbor and say, which words? The words he just spoke. Thou that love the Lord thy God. I have to keep saying it. I love the Lord my God. I say it in the morning. I say it at noon. I say it in the evening. I say it at night before I sleep. I keep saying it. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, with all my will, with all my strength, with all my might. And I love my brethren and all men as Christ Lord. Then I pray in tongues. Now that tongues will not give me the wisdom and the power to do it. Look at the next verse. These words shall be in thy heart. Thy commanded, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall what? Talk. Everybody say, talk. Talk. Don't your neighbor say, I believe, therefore have I spoken. That's why you have to say it. When you say it, you are releasing the power to do it, and then you back it with the Holy Ghost. Then it will start getting perfected inside your life. There's no shortcut, folks. This is the way. Hallelujah. And he tells you when. He said, when you sit in your house, I didn't hear you. When you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise, last, you know, four times at least. It could be more, but at least, you know, now once every 6 hours, you know, and that love begins to grow. It begins to develop inside the heart. Look at Deuteronomy 30 and we close. 30:14. But the word. Tell you, ask your neighbor, what word? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thou shalt love thy brethren as Jesus loves them. That's the word. But that this word of loving God and loving men with the love of God shall is very where? Near you. It is where? In your mouth. And then is where? In your heart, that you may do it. As you do this, you will fulfill all the law. Then you will inherit the Spirit without measure. And with Spirit without measure, you will fulfill all the prophets, and the world will now respect the church. And they shall see that you are that you are called by the name of the Lord thy God, and they shall be afraid of you.
They will seek God's character. The name of the Lord is his character. They will see righteousness in you. They will see justice in you. They will see loving kindness in you. Ah! And then they will... Afraid doesn't mean like afraid of a terrorist. It means that they will reverence you. They will respect you. The Bible says when the 12 apostles, they were carrying Jesus' borrowed anointing, and Peter's shadow was healing people on the streets of Jerusalem, and they healed the man at the gate beautiful. It says, no man does join themselves to him. Say, all the people magnified them. We don't want to be magnified and worshipped by men, no. But respect. Respect. Respect for the church. Respect for our God. So that all the earth may know that there is no other God but the God of Israel. David declared to Goliath. He said, this day I will remove your head. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. The earth is about to find out that the God of Israel, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, is the true God. Stand to your feet. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. That all the earth may know. That all the earth may know. And they will see you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Fulfilling all the law and all the prophets. You're not going to do it overnight, but start working on it. Start practicing it. Start practicing it. Use all those spiritual sacrifices. The sin offering, the meal offering, the peace offering, the meal offering, the burnt offering. Do your sacrifices morning, evening, weekly, monthly, quarterly. That's how they did in the Old Testament. You're fulfilling everything. Then you will gradually cause the love of God to be perfected in you. Inherit the Spirit without measure. Then with that, you move into the prophets and you fulfill all the prophets. There is, Jesus said, not one jot, not one tittle will pass. In other words, everything Moses did, we're going to do it. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. Everything Elijah did, we're going to do it. Everything Daniel did, we're going to do it. Everything Joseph did, we're going to do it. Not one jot or till we fail until all be fulfilled. And don't be satisfied with anything less. Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are the peace that guards my heart, my help in time of need. You are the hope, writing us the hope of glory, and brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting, here I find relief. So with all my heart, I worship and unto you I say, Lord, you alone deserve all glory. You alone deserve all praise. We worship and adore you, Father. We long to see your face. Find you waiting. and here I find relief. So with all my heart I worship, and unto you I say, the other hand to God. For you alone deserve all glory. Lord, you alone deserve all praise. Father, we worship and adore you. Father, we long to see your face. Lord, you alone deserve all glory. You alone deserve all praise.
Father, we love you.
Father, we love you.
Yes, we love you, Lord.
And we worship you this day.
Father, we love you.
Father, we love you.
We love you, Lord.
And we worship you this day.
Father, we love you.
Father, we love you. Say, Heavenly Father, all those that are at home, stretch your hands towards your device, put your hand on your heart, just like we're doing here in church, and pray after me. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for clarity on how, what, and how to fulfill all the law and the prophets. And this is our destiny in the end time. And for those of us that are keeping your word, this word of patience and consistency, you have promised to keep us from these temptations, these perils, these sorrows of the end time. Father, I come to receive fresh mercy and grace to help me with a good and an honest heart to keep your word. To fulfill all of the law. By fulfilling the law of life and the law of love. Daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly. Using the spiritual sacrifices of the Melchizedek priesthood to fulfill all your will. Have mercy on me. Help me to keep this word of patience. This consistency, and not to lose it. And as I do this, I trust you to inherit the spirit without measure to fulfill all of the prophets in Jesus' name. You said in your word that not one jot or tittle will fail from the law and the prophets till all be fulfilled. You said you did not come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. I say, here I am, Lord. I make myself available as a vessel in your hand. A holy vessel, meet for the master's use, to fulfill all the law and all the prophets to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord Holy Spirit, we thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we were praying, the scripture came to me. He said, Mommy quoted it. In this end time, because of the sorrows and all the problems, it says the love of many, and sadly majority, 2/3, will wax cold. And then you know what the Lord told me? He said, you know what's going to allow your love to wax cold? Fire. Fire is not cold. That's why you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. If you keep putting fire on that sacrifice daily, it will never wax cold. Hold on to that. You can take that word to the bank. Your every morning you get up, fire. Evening, fire. Weekly, fire. Monthly, fire. Quarterly, fire. Your love will never wax cold. Neither will it be lukewarm. Anything that has fire on it, it can't even be lukewarm. It has to be hot. That's the characteristic of fire. Have you ever seen a fire that is lukewarm? Have you ever seen a fire that is cold? In fact, once you put your hand there, it will burn you. Once you have fire, it's guaranteed to be hot. That's why the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Fire. This is the real meaning of fire, not the fire that these are people are shouting about. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lifts up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gates of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live, you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life will God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection, the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts on you the anointings of Enoch, Abraham, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Ruth, David, Elisha, Daniel, Esther, Paul, and John. In Jesus' name, you know, from next week, the 3 hours before, you want it from today. From next week, we'll give everybody, today is a day of grace. Amen. From next week, 3 hours after, everybody's going to be here in church like we do. So, you know, we want to start meeting physically more and more so that everybody, you know, responsibility.
God told me to do it.
Of course. You know, if God who told that, because it's in the Bible. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together. Amen. You can assemble online, but, you know, assembling together is very, very important. You know, the way you pray when Pastor Olubi is looking at you is different from the way you pray at home and cross your leg. How many people know that? Huh? Uh-huh. You know, when you're at home, you know, you're watching the, you know, program, you just feel like eating, drinking Fanta. Say, give me Fanta there, you know. But dare you do that in church? That's why coming together is so important. Are you listening to me? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are fulfilling all the law and all the prophets, and so you will have no bones broken. In Jesus' name, amen.